to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy.
Go and see the stars, Milky Way. Hey guys, Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Welcome back. Well, what I have for you today is Paul Antom. Paul is the brainchild behind PPG for Morons, and I'm sure if you've been in power paragliding for the last several years, you are familiar with PPG for Morons. Well, I met Paul in Kankakee, Illinois, the Lance Marzak fly-in at the beginning of the summer, and got a chance to fly with him several times and been wanting to get him on the show for a while, so I finally got a chance to sit down and talk to him. So you'll get to know what goes on behind the scenes of PPG for Morons and basically what goes on in his mind. So anyway, I'd like to thank Paul for coming on and giving me time, and hopefully you guys enjoy. You know, you see his videos, and I'm sure if you're like me, like when I first, the very first video I saw was a brake nut, I'm like, okay, that was funny. So Paul Antom, PPG for Morons, thank you for listening. Will Jones.
Hey guys, Will Jones, welcome back, Talking PPG Radio. Well, got a very cool interview coming up here for you. I can remember going to YouTube, and you're always looking for information, and come upon this video that was, well, bust a gut laughing out loud, and it had to do with tying a brake knot, and I thought it was one of the funniest things in the sport that we're in and everything. And many of you guys know this guy. His name is Paul Antom, PPG for Morons. I wanted to give him a call and talk to him, and I've been flying with him this summer, and I've been saying, "Hey, I gotta get you on the show," and finally got a chance to catch up with him. And Paul, welcome to Talking PPG Radio, man.
Hey, Will, how you doing?
Doing good. How about you?
Hey, I great. I took a shower just for the interview.
Did you? Thank you. That might be a first, though. But I'm glad you're not in the shower. Really?
I've got a tie on.
Oh man,
sure?
Man, you're making me feel important. I'm in the basement in my scrubs. You know, just kind of like work is over today, finally.
Yeah.
Oh man, you've been doing any flying or anything?
Just flew yesterday.
Yeah.
And you know, the autumn weather's coming in, and I always want to get up and try to get some pictures of the leaves changing.
Yes, yes.
And I love this time of year to fly, as long as it's not too cold.
Too cold, yeah.
Right, and it's beautiful. The air is a little thicker because it's not really hot and thin.
Yes.
So I'm still flying as much as I can.
Excellent, man. Well, I'll tell you what, first time on the show, I always ask everybody, so what made you get in this crazy sport of PPG power paragliding?
Well, I guess that's pretty easy, really. I've been hoping for something like powered paragliding to come along all my life, ever since I was a kid.
Okay.
I always liked the idea of something small and personal.
Yeah.
And as far as flight goes, and, you know, just flying in a big airplane or even a small Cessna really never interested me. It just seemed too impersonal.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's all the rules and regulations and everything, but, and when I finally heard about powered paragliding, I thought, that's it. I mean, something I can pack in my car, something I can take out, I can go low and slow. That's what I've been waiting for all my life.
Yeah.
And I just knew it. And I didn't even have the money. I, I, I just said, oh, I'm going to do it. I didn't even spend, some people spend a year or two researching, and that's great.
You know, right,
all
yeah.
All the motors, all the wings. I just found the closest instructor and said, okay, start taking lessons. Tell me your equipment and whatever you recommend, and let's go.
Mm, okay.
And that's how I did it, and that's why I did it, the small and personal. I just knew it. I knew it was right for me.
See, that's amazing because you're right. Most people, you know, do 2 years or more researching and dreaming and drooling and wishing, and that's amazing. That's the first time I've heard somebody say,
right.
Hey, I'm going to do it. This is what I'm going to do. Wow.
Right. And I'm not normally like that with other things, but there's something about that. Something about it I knew would be life-changing.
Yes.
And it actually has been for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not just a, you know, like stamp collecting. It's not just a hobby I do sometimes. It's the biggest part of my life right now. Of course, I don't have a wife and kids.
Oh, okay. I understand. Okay.
No, actually, I'm just a loser with my cat.
Listen to you, man.
Yeah. And the only enjoyment I get out of life is flying.
Oh, man. Dang on it.
Yeah. No, but it is. It's a big part of my life right now.
Yeah.
So it's a little more than a hobby.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. A lot of friends that I have say, I would never do it. What makes you do it? And like you said, it's life-changing, man. It is. I've been in small airplanes, like you said. It's, okay, I'm in an enclosed, wow, okay. Like you said, a lot of rules and regulations. The first time I went up, sitting in that lawn chair, just like, wow, you know, this is what it's about. Down, low, up, high, whatever you want to, you know. You're
right.
Exactly right.
Control.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Wind in your face, your whole body, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not just the flying around, because I'll be the first one to admit, you know, once I'm up in the air and maybe if I'm going someplace, it, you know, might get a little boring if you let it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's like a drug in that you... After you've done it, then the next day, you want to do it again.
Yes.
And it's, for me, I've got it down to the very second. I'll tell you what it is to me, the addicting part. First of all, I love the launching and the landing.
Yes.
But I'll even narrow it down more. And when I'm launching, when I'm just pulling the wing up.
Yes.
And it's just getting overhead where I can feel it tugging up and I just started running forward.
Right.
That second where I've gone from all the weights on my feet to I feel the wing starting to pull me up.
Wow.
That's the second of, wow, this is
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
And I feel it unlike someone who's addicted to drugs where the feeling gets less and less every time and they need more and more. But every time I pull the wing up, I feel the same feeling of, oh, this is it. Right when the wing is just starting to pull some pressure up on me, it's the same every time. So every launch for me is like, oh, this is great.
that you're right, you know. How long have you been flying?
You know, I've only been flying, I don't know, I think it's been 3 years.
3 years, okay.
3 years, and I still consider myself a newbie because... Even that is misleading. I consider it 3 seasons.
Yes.
You know, so that's not
yes.
3 years.
Right, right. And you are so, you know, and you are to the point when you get that feeling where a lot of the new guys that are probably listening probably won't feel that until 50, 60 flights maybe. Maybe that first one, like, oh, wow. But I think, you know, those first 10, 20, you're so concentrating on bringing that wing up, make sure you don't blow a launch, you know, all those things. And once you get to that point that you're at, you're like, oh, man, you know?
Right. You have a input overload.
Yes.
The first, you know, 20 flights or so or more. It depends on the person and situation.
Yes.
And, but the good thing for, you know, if anyone new is listening is it's not going to, once you get past the input overload, you still get a thrill
yes.
every time you take off.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, it's that transition of, man, this stuff is heavy on my back, to, wow. That was pretty good line. Yeah. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're exactly right.
I can feel myself. I'm going to go up in the air. And it's also that split second. You know you're going to make it. You know you're going to make it up into the air.
Yes.
And that's another thing. I get a lot of questions now from people that want to get into sport. As a matter of fact, I just traveled up to just a 45-minute trip to North Dayton. There's a gentleman that got my phone number, and he's interested in powered paragliding. So I traveled up there and with my gear so he could see it firsthand.
Yes.
And did some demonstration flights. And ran into the side of his house. No, I'm just kidding. I did some demonstration flights, you know, pulled big ears and did a bunch of swaying around.
The awe factor.
Just to show him that,
You
know, you can play around in the wing. I didn't do anything extreme, you know.
Well, no. Somebody that is not into the sport and want to get into it, that's awe stuff. Like, oh, wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so I see that, and
they love it.
Well, he loved it. He's already a general aviation pilot, and actually built his own small single engine plane. And this is one of the last things he said to me. You know, after two flights, and we talked for quite a while.
Yeah.
And he said, "Now that I see everything up close and what you have to do and what you have to wear, you know."
Yeah.
And I see you take off. He said, "I'm overwhelmed. I don't know if I can do it." And this is
really
pilot speaking.
Wow.
and it just goes to show you how quickly us people who have been flying for a while.
Right.
And I always try to be cognizant of this. Us people who have been flying for a while take all the newness that new people see for granted.
Yes.
We've got it down to a point where launching is usually not a problem, landing is not a problem, and you have to constantly remember, because I want to be an instructor someday.
Yeah, same here, yes.
You have to constantly put yourself in the mindset of, this is new.
Right.
I mean, they don't even know how to pull the wing up to get it up in the air.
Right.
You have to remember that. So I just thought that was kind
very
of interesting.
Cool.
That was the last thing he said. This is all so overwhelming. And here he's already a pilot. I tell you, if he showed me a sectional chart, I'd look at him and say, "Oh, that's overwhelming."
There you go.
There's coffee stains on that mat.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. Oh, well, cool, man. Very cool. Okay, Paul. All right. You are Mr. PPG from Moorise, my friend. And I'm sure a lot of
what they call me now.
You know. And
I never really aspired to be called the moron guy, but that's what I hear at the fly-in.
Making them laugh, man. Making them laugh.
Really?
The one thing, though, I wanted people to know, though, is because, you know, you see your videos, and the first thing that, you know, people want to think is, well, man, does he really know how to fly? And I'm going to tell you now, guys, very accomplished pilot here. It is hard to look bad, you know, it's hard to act like you can't fly or you know, it's really hard. So just to let you all you guys know, Paul's a very accomplished pilot, very good. He lands, takes off, lands good, gone. So even though you see these videos, don't take them literally.
Thank you.
To be funny, and if you don't know by now, he'll teach you something. So anyway, man, great stuff.
Hey, you might learn a little something.
Oh, sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Don't eat popcorn in air. Okay.
Yeah, I've had to challenge myself with some flying, just with, not that I've done any spectacular stunts, but just even just dealing with the camera in the air, on the camera mount.
Oh, yes.
Doing some, for instance, when I take the dummy up in the air with me.
Yeah.
That's a lot of drag.
Yes, it is.
When I did my tragic tandem video, you know, I had that dummy hanging below me. It literally was pulling me out of the seat.
Oh, really? Wow.
And, there's just, Sometimes just launching with extra equipment. I mean, it's not a big deal for a lot of people. A lot of people take a lot of stuff up anyway, but, you know.
But props
more and
more
stuff. More things to think about.
Yeah.
I launched, I think you were there. I launched at the Michigan fly-in with the full face mask on.
Yes.
Full, it was a jet fighter pilot, full face mask. Goggles, breathing apparatus, and just little things like that that can kind of throw you off your game. But so far, I've been lucky.
Yeah. Now the skill, you're just skilled. You're a skilled pilot, man. You're a skilled pilot.
Yeah, I'm sure it looks good on a resume.
There you go.
Can launch with a 10-pound pumpkin.
There you go. Well, all right, man. I tell you, what? I mean, what? Where do you get your ideas from, man? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you're mad scientist. You get home and you start thinking of things. I mean, what inspires you to do certain things?
Well, you know, that's pretty good. I like the mad scientist analogy. It's you probably wouldn't look at a mad scientist and say where do you get your ideas. You would just look at him and you think, well, his brain probably just comes up. And, you know, it's like, wow. And mine does, too. I just, I can and do let my brain go off on a tangent all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always want to look at the funny side of something.
Right.
And so it's basically constant practice. Just that's how I come up with the ideas. No matter what happens, I could get my ideas basically from anything. It could be TV, it could be real life, at work. Or a video I'm watching, a real video of real flying on YouTube and get an idea. Or I get it on the big list. Just all sorts of things, but my brain always says, okay, what's something funny about that?
Mm.
Or what would, it's, my brain's constantly saying, okay, that could be funny if. And, so that's how I get the ideas. And now, people actually write with ideas.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. But, give you suggestions, suggest stuff to you.
Right, give me suggestions.
Yeah.
And I don't want to toot my own horn, but almost all the ideas that people write, I've actually already thought of doing that.
Did you really?
And
that's cool.
Yes, yeah. almost all of them.
Yeah.
But I still love the ideas coming in, because usually what happens is they have another twist. To it.
Oh, okay.
Like, oh, yeah, I thought about doing a video about that, and then I'll write in and say, what if this happened? Like, oh, yeah, that would make it funnier. That's good.
Wow.
And that's a good point right there. When I make my videos, I start with a core idea.
Okay.
Well, let me see. I might even have my little sheet here.
Yeah, okay.
I keep a notepad.
Okay.
Of ideas.
Yeah.
And so I just have a core idea. Like, for instance, here's one right here.
Okay.
Kid flying a kite.
All right.
Kid flying a kite. So,
yeah.
I can make a nice, funny video out of that.
Yeah.
The hard part is getting the people together, setting it up.
Right.
Where I have to do the stunt. I have to do an aerial shot with me the camera. I'll have to get someone on the ground doing that. And I'll have a core idea, and that's hard enough just to get the, okay, I'm going to fly through a kite, or make it look like I've just
flown through
a kite that a kid was flying. Okay, but now how can we make it funnier? And usually what happens is when I'm filming it, the volunteers,
yes,
or whoever's helping me at the time, will say, hey, what if we do this?
Oh.
Wouldn't it be funny if the kid did this or said that? And that's usually what really makes the video. I have the core idea, and I take the input of the people that have helped me, and that usually, you know, puts it over the top. That's icing on the cake.
Oh, wow.
That's sort of how they're made. It's a process.
Yeah.
And it's due to any the people around me that help.
They help end up input and stuff. Oh, that's
right.
Really cool.
Yeah. A lot of people, I gotta have a lot of foreign subscribers, or a lot of people that haven't seen me at a fly-in, and they think it's that we're a crew of people, that PPG for Morons is a sort of a set crew of people.
Oh, really? Okay.
Right.
All right.
And of course, it's not.
Right, yeah. Usually you're like, hey, you can have the camera. Yeah.
It's just me. It's just me, baby.
Yeah. Exactly. Wait a minute.
There are sort of some people that seem to be there a lot and have helped me on several occasions.
Yeah.
Or on many occasions. And that's important, too, because that makes things easier.
Yes.
Because some videos are made with, you know, I'm just grabbing somebody.
Right. Yeah.
Saying, here's the camera, this is the record button, I want it framed this way.
Yeah.
And here, I'm going to grab you as an actor, say these lines, and then I have to coach them.
Right,
so it's
right.
All a, right. So you never know how it's going to turn up.
Yeah, and
a challenge that way.
Yeah, it's because I've actually stepped back since, you know, we've been flying a lot together here, several fly-ins, mm-hmm. just step back and watch in the process. It's like, holy, I see these bubbles pop over your head, and then, like you said, I hear guys say, hey, why don't you do this? And you go, okay, yeah.
Right.
How about this? Yeah. And everybody's like, yeah, you know,
yeah.
It's like.
Well, here's a perfect example. When I did Naked Paragliding,
yes.
which is no longer on YouTube, it is on a Vimeo account, though.
Is it? Oh, okay. They didn't... Okay.
If you go to Vimeo and type in Naked Paragliding, I'm sure you could find it.
Yeah.
YouTube took it off. But we were filming that, and that was going to be, you know, fairly funny on its own right. I mean, just having my white body around naked. And all the pre-scenes I did inside with the computer and me dreaming about all the naked girls and stuff. But the part of that video that everyone remembers the most, the part that stands out in everyone's mind, is when I grabbed the traffic cone to put over my you know, to hide myself and run across the field. That was an idea at the last minute, and I believe it was Jeff Baumgartner.
Really?
I'm pretty sure it was him that... Because there's a traffic cone right there, and he goes, hey, why don't you grab that and put it over yourself?
That's great.
And I just had my little leather bomber cap.
Yeah.
And that made the whole video. And I'm like, oh, that's perfect.
That's great.
So every once in a while you get a gem. So it really is a community effort, all the PPG for Morons. It's a community effort for all the PPG people.
Well, see, I was beginning to think the Indy Air Hogs were on your staff, you know, and you were paying them.
Well, they are, in a sense. They
aren't they? Yes.
They have supported with more than anything.
Yes.
Especially the boot camp series.
Yes, that was really cool.
Filmed in Southern California a year ago. That was all Indy Air Hogs.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Now, you have to remember, when I make these, when I go to, and I try to always at least make a scene or maybe a whole video at every flying I go to, which is every... one I can
yes
physically possibly go to. See, at a fly-in, and you've probably heard this term before, getting a bunch of PPGers together to do something is like herding cats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, if you don't think that's true, why don't you... I challenge everyone out there, in any flying club or any group of people that fly, to try to get more than 5 PPGers to fly in a formation just for 60 seconds.
Right, right.
And yeah. That will be an almost insurmountable challenge.
Guinness Book of World Records.
Cats.
Yes.
Right. Herding cats. I mean, they won't get up at the same time, and
yes.
Two will get up in the air, and then they'll get bored waiting for everyone, so they'll just go play around. So imagine me trying to get a bunch of people together in the middle of the flying when they're out talking with their other buddies. They want to get ready to fly when the weather's right. And
yes.
You know, they want to do their flying thing,
right.
And that's great. I understand that. So sometimes it's a little difficult. Even though people want to help, it's really hard to actually get them to come over
yeah,
and do it.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
So that's a big challenge right there, is just to round the people up and say, okay, I need you all right here, and I need you to stay here. And, you know, let's get this done.
All right. Yeah.
That's the challenge.
Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, and I noticed that. I mean, because, and literally, you're grabbing somebody, you know. And,
right.
And the cool thing, you've never had, I mean, the funny thing is most of them be like, yeah, I'll do it, I'll help, yes, you know. I know you probably never have a problem with, you know, actually getting somebody, you know, to help you, but I understand what you're saying. Especially, like you said, the boot camp thing. They're all, what was it, five guys, and there y'all were. Man, you know, it's like...
Yeah, I think there were about eight that year. And so it was great to have a lot of help when, you know, some of them couldn't make it. You know, because we had to go away from the crowd and trudge over here. And at one time, I actually got them all together. You know, that was my favorite part, just to even see... seven or eight paramotor pilots there with their gear on doing push-ups.
Oh, yes. I remember.
I thought that right there was worth the whole thing. You're not going to see that again.
Yeah.
I don't care if it was funny or not.
Yes, you're
that
right.
That was a challenge. That's a great accomplishment. And that's, you know, it's great to have people that will help like that. But at the same time, I want to always grab different people.
Right.
I want to have everyone I can in the video from all over the country, and give them a chance to be in the video. There was a gentleman, Mark, from New York, and I got him in my Oblivious video.
Yes.
And then I happened to just see him a month later at another fly-in, and he said, "Paul, thanks for putting me in that video. It's great.
Yeah.
Whenever I go to fly, and people look at me now and say, 'Hey, I saw you in the video.'"
Oh, look, that's
like, hey,
great.
No problem, dude.
That's
no
great.
Problem. So I always want to, you know, put as many different people in as I can.
So, how many of them, what's the total now? How many do you have
out?
You know,
I was just looking at that the other day. There are 45.
Really?
PPG for Morons.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's not as if they're all huge episodes or anything. I mean, for instance, the last two I put up, Cross Country and Popcorn.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's not a big production. Cross Country was just 30 seconds of me sleeping in a paramotor.
That's all right.
But you know what? It worked.
Yes, exactly.
You know what? Because sometimes I'll spend weeks and like Fire in the Sky.
Oh, gosh, that was... Yes.
There were three different states.
Yeah.
It took me a month to get all the scenes. I had to do green screen work.
Music?
I had to make the music.
Yes.
Because I can't use any copyrighted music.
Yes.
I had to find music for it, volunteers. You know, it took a lot of work. And I know it was a little long. But, hey,
No, it was great. No.
And, well, thank you.
No.
And I think people like that, but it's not going to be a real popular, it's not going to be the most popular video as far as, you know, a lot of people watching it.
Right.
It's long. And so sometimes just the quickies that are easy to do end up being just as popular.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to make, you know, nice involved ones. And try to keep them short, 4 or 5 minutes. But the quickies work, too.
Yeah.
One of my most popular videos, for God's sake, it barely has anything to do with PPG. It's called Speechless. And it's the one
Speechless?
Speechless.
Okay.
It's called Speechless.
Uh-huh.
And it's one where I have my paramotor on, and like I've just been trying to launch and I go up to Brandon and grab his, what I think is a Mountain Dew.
Oh, gosh, yes.
That has got a lot of comments, a lot of hits. Some people just love that one.
Yes,
And I'm like, wow, that was just something I wanted to do real fast because I didn't have any props at the fly-in to do any other video.
That was, yes. Well, you know what? The first time
wouldn't it be funny if...
Oh, my God.
And it would be easy to do.
You know, it's funny. I'm laughing, but at the same time, I'm going, "Oh no, You know, so.
Right? And in that, it's not just the concept. you know, the concept's kind of gross. That took actually three takes.
Really? Okay.
Maybe four. And we had to change his T-shirt and dry it out. But in a sense, three T-shirts as well.
Oh, wow.
Just for that scene, because I realized it could be really funny if I really splashed his own, when I handed his bottle back, if I really splashed it all over him.
Oh, and yes. So
that video was all timing and visual, and it just worked, you know.
Yeah. we're talking about Brandon Oberlin from the Indy Air Hogs, if you're not familiar with the name.
Correct.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. That's really funny. Which one was your first one? Was it the? Did you tell me it was the knot? Was that the first one?
Yes.
The brake knot.
The very first one was the brake knot.
Oh gosh.
I've re-edited that, and on the DVDs I sell, which you know I don't push those a lot, but if people ask for them, I have DVDs available.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it looks a lot better on TV than.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
YouTube screen, but I re-edited that and made it a little shorter and tighter, but still virtually the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before I even had an actual character in mind. Well, since we're talking about the first one,
yeah,
I never wanted to be the moron. I never wanted to be the star. I was wanted to direct and come up with the ideas.
Really?
And
okay.
Yes, that was never my intention.
Okay.
I just wanted to, you know, like I said, produce it, direct it, come up with the ideas, and have a bunch of other people, give them a chance to, you know, do their thing, be a star. If I
came
up with a funny idea, I was going to ask them, hey, can you do this?
Tough, isn't
it? But it turns out that didn't work.
Actually, right.
When I filmed... And I went to Southern California and did the boot camp series.
Yeah.
Notice I was the drill instructor.
Right. Exactly.
I wanted someone else to do that.
Yeah.
And no one else felt they were up to it. And I did a lot of talking with Bubba Peters, who's been a sort of a mentor.
Really? Okay.
And always gives me some good advice. And he saw I'd done a few moron type. I hadn't even had the leather helmet yet, or the loud Hawaiian shirt, and I told him that I didn't want to be the character. I didn't want to be the character. I didn't want to be the star.
Right.
I just wanted to make them and let everyone else, you know, take turns doing something silly.
Yes.
And he said, "No, Paul, I've seen you. You have to be the moron."
Okay.
You have to do it.
That was good advice. Yes.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah, no, that was good advice. Because I don't think you would have the same following that you have now.
Yeah, I think it would be too... it wouldn't be as consolidated. There wouldn't be any... there wouldn't be anything to recognize. It'd just be... I think without the moron character, you're right. It wouldn't be recognizable.
Right. Exactly.
That way they could say, I wonder what the moron will do next.
Yeah.
Rather than just saying, I wonder if this group of people came up with another stupid video.
Yeah. Hey, guys, if you don't know who Bubba Peters is, he's actually like the founder of the Pikes Peak Paragliding Club. You can go to bubbappg.com. He's got a website.
Right,
there,
out in Colorado. He has a place in Colorado.
Yeah.
And so. He has a fly-in, like, I believe, every 4th of July where he... invites a bunch of people up to see if they can launch at 9,000.
9,000, yeah. It's like, holy crap.
Great guy. He's got his own website, Bubba Peters.
It's BubbaPPG.com.
Bubba PPG.
Yeah. So if you want to check out who we're talking about.
He's a real nice guy.
Yeah.
Who, incidentally, he actually, we were emailing each other one day, and I guess we were talking about a different leather helmet type of, you know, with a face mask and everything.
Right.
And he actually sent me that authentic Russian fighter pilot.
Did he really?
Helmet with full face mask.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So he's a big PPG for moron supporter.
Very cool, man. Very cool. Well, I've been waiting. That was in Holland. I've been waiting because you had the NASA suit on, and it's like, well,
right.
I've been waiting for this one. This looks like this one's going to be good.
I know. That's going to take some doing because that's going to be a lot of studio, quote-unquote, green screen work.
Yeah.
And I'm not real happy. You see, this is what happens with the, you know, with it being all volunteers. Sometimes you get stuff you like, and sometimes you're like, oh, boy, I wish I wasn't the character, that I could be behind the camera. Because the footage
framing
really
and everything
turned out very well.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, not the way, I mean, a lot of times when I'm doing this, I say, okay, that's good enough.
Okay.
Because otherwise, the video will never get done.
Right, right.
But I have to draw a line and say, you know what, I can't even use that. I mean, you can see me or that kind of works, but sometimes I have to draw a line and say, you know what, that's not even good enough for a moron.
What moron put this together? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
all right.
And unfortunately, people are just going to be expecting more and more.
Yeah.
So,
well, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Fine. Drives me to higher levels. But, hey, just remember, all this stuff's for free. I don't get
paid. There you go.
Get paid. It costs me.
Yeah. So your props and stuff, yeah, okay, he's like sent you the mask and stuff. You get it at a local DAV, you at work, or people bring you stuff? How you find your props and things?
I just have to make them. For instance, in the Fire in the Sky video, I went to the hardware store and I spent a whole weekend making that coffin. Now it's too bad there's a coffin in the Fire in the Sky video, and that's and I made a really nice coffin. As a matter of fact, I should probably go to donate it to a local high school theater group or something. And it's too bad because it's only in the background for a little bit.
Right, right, yeah.
But it was very necessary, so I have to spend some time and money and make a coffin. I just have to make this stuff.
Yeah.
Just like the leather, the moron cap, I call it.
Oh, really? That's not...
That's homemade.
No way.
And I don't have a budget. My budget, you know, the change I have in my pocket.
Yeah.
So I went to a Goodwill store looking for a leather jacket or something to cut up.
Yeah.
Couldn't find it, and I ended up finding a little leather shaving kit. And I just cut it in pieces and kind of form-fit it to my head and used the corners to make the little fake ears.
That is too cool.
And I stapled and super glued that whole thing together. I can't believe
it. Looks great.
It held up.
It looks great, man.
I can't believe it. It's been in the water. It's been through flights. It hasn't been through my prop yet, but you know.
That is funny. I would have never thought of that. That is too cool, man.
I just have to make whatever I need. I'm trying to think of some other.
Now, when everybody hears that, they're going to be like looking real close to see if they can see the glue and
you can see the staples and glue.
I'm not trying to hide it. Yeah.
You know the nice thing about the concept of PPG for morons is that I don't have to be perfect.
There you go.
Kind of screwed up. It's like anybody expects it free. You know, it's a moron video. But there are a lot of benefits. Other than monetary, I mean, like I said, since I don't make any money, since that costs me money, I would still do it. And there are so many other benefits. Like, I get to meet all these people. I'd meet them up anyway at fly-ins, but I'm more driven to go out there. And now I get people writing from all over. They just get in touch with me through YouTube. You make a comment.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see that. I see every comment that's made.
So
not right away, but that day. And so people from all over the world get in touch with me and invite me to different places. The benefits are just great.
Yeah. Well,
just in PPG in general, you'd still have the same benefits.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of a tight community.
It is. It really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of YouTube, so how many comments have you got I can see the string. That's not real. I mean.
Yes, exactly. Well, every once in a while, because you never know who's watching it on YouTube. It might be a little kid or something like that, and he'll, or just some stupid idiot, and they'll make a comment like, "Oh, I could tell that was fake." I hope it was fake. The guy with a broken leg hanging from my thermometer, of course, it was fake. You know,
that's
and
great.
They're all proud of themselves because they saw a string. And I'm like, yeah. So I do get that every once in a while.
That's funny.
And I just know they're serious.
Oh, that's too funny.
And I'll usually comment, you know. I always keep it on the lighter side.
Yeah.
For instance, when someone makes maybe a real odd comment, I'll actually click on their username and see what type of videos that
they look at.
Done.
Yeah.
Kind of see who they are.
Right.
And for instance, I wrote back to one kid who made some comment. I said, "Hey, that was a good eye that you saw that." You know, didn't try to make him feel stupid.
Yeah, that's great. That's cool.
It's all for fun.
Yeah.
And you know what's great? I never get any bad comments on the videos, even though I know they're not masterpieces. I know some of them are stupid and barely worth watching, but it's all in good fun.
All in good fun, right.
And, right. And right. It's for the PPG community or anyone who wants to watch it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll get a comment that's that was stupid. I'm like, well, yeah, I know it's stupid. Look at the title.
Just like, duh.
So
huh?
It doesn't bother me.
No, so that's cool. Well,
it's all in good fun. It's all in good fun.
All right. Well, let's a little technical stuff here. What camera are you using? When you're
okay, well, I use just a consumer camera.
Okay.
Not even a prosumer camera. So it's like an $800 camera. It's a Panasonic HDR 18, something like that.
Yeah.
The important thing about it is it's a hard drive memory. I don't have to mess with tape.
Okay.
Or I can switch it to flash drive mode.
Oh, really?
So
okay.
That when I'm up in the air filming, there's no hard drive to get jostled around.
Okay.
And it's got, I could film for the whole weekend and not run out of memory. So that's the important thing. And then download it onto my computer instantly. Now, I'm getting ready to buy a high definition camera, but I haven't been in a hurry.
You've been like me, waiting.
Because part of the flavor of PPG for Morons is the amateur feel to it.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
And I actually have gone widescreen. It used to be 4:3 format. If you look at the older videos,
mm-hmm.
or actually most of the videos, it's a regular square screen.
Right.
3. But now I shoot all in widescreen.
Okay.
With the same camera, I just put it on a different setting.
Yeah.
Because YouTube now has widescreen.
Widescreen, right. Exactly right.
Widescreen, my last view. And so that's a slight improvement. But I was even told by a professional videographer just this summer. I told him I wanted to get a high-definition camera. And he goes, "Well, Paul, I really like the way your videos look the way they are now." And I said, "Oh, okay, good."
Because, okay.
Because, you know, you go to high-definition, you might have to get a new computer. And that's more editing time, more power. But still, there. Now, I'm doing so much, I'm going to so many fly-ins and doing so much traveling that I'm going to need a high-definition camera anyway, because sometimes there's just some darn pretty scenery.
Oh, exactly. Yes, you're right.
Up there,
yeah.
That you want to get high-definition.
Yeah.
So,
see, I've been waiting.
So I think I'm going to have to go to high-definition here.
Yeah.
Next year, they will all be in high-definition.
High-def. Well, cool. Yeah, because
maybe even in California.
Are you going out to Salt and Sea?
Yes,
are
I'm
you?
Going out to Salt and Sea, and I'll be going to the flying
AZ, Arizona.
Two in Arizona.
Oh wow! Okay, yeah.
I believe they are back to back
this year, supposedly. Yeah,
as long as they're back to back.
So, you're using a tripod when you're in the air, I'm assuming, or you have a camera?
No, not a tripod in the air.
No, okay, or not a tripod? A
tripod on the ground. No, right.
I'm sorry. I mean the single one, you know, stick or
monopod.
Monopod.
In
okay.
The air.
Okay.
It's a custom-made mount called the butt cam.
Uh huh.
They only
okay.
Think that's holding that camera out in front of me are clenched butt cheeks and a kneecap. And people wonder why I get nervous when I'm flying and filming.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's not a fun prospect sometimes.
Yeah. What software are you using to edit with?
Oh, I use, again, there, I don't use a high-level professional like Adobe or
right.
Some other one.
There's Vegas.
But, I use just Pinnacle, Vegas, stuff
yeah.
Like that. I use Pinnacle Studio.
Do you really?
Which, yes, I use that.
I've
and
used that
has more than enough, and I've
yeah.
Never had any problems with it. It's the latest version. I have to buy the updated version every year. And it's got plenty of effects, green stream, tons of stuff I haven't even used yet.
Okay.
It's sufficient for what I have.
Well, cool.
I mean, people can spend a ton of money on cameras and buy the top-of-the-line video editing. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter unless you go out there and make some footage.
Right. Right.
And that's what a lot of people don't do.
Yeah.
I've had some people say, "Paul, how do you get all the scenes? How do you do all that?" And well, I make myself do it.
Right. You just just filming. Just
You got to do it because I could. I actually could go to a fly-in, and I might have a few people say, "Hey, you going to make a video?" And I'll say, "Yeah." But unless I grab people, unless I make it happen, unless I make time, it just won't happen.
Right.
Even if a bunch of people wanted to help, they're not going to get me off, my butt and say, "Okay, Paul, let's do it."
Right.
I have to do it.
Yeah.
I have to do that.
Yeah.
I say, "Okay, it's time."
Yeah. And then you get rolling.
That's what I've learned. You just got to get out there and do it.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. That's, one of the I've always wondered what software you use to edit
studio,
your stuff.
I think it costs about $100 or $120, something like that. Whereas a top of the line editing program can cost anywhere from $500 to $1,000.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, it'd be so complicated I wouldn't know how to. It would take me a year to
learn how to use. Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. I've looked at that Adobe stuff.
I still don't know how to use everything on Pinnacle.
On Pinnacle,
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I truly am a moron when it comes down to it. My life has to be very simple.
Listen to you.
Otherwise, I wouldn't know what to do.
Listen to you.
Yeah.
Oh, well, cool, man.
Before you called, I was looking at, I had some notes here about, just in case you asked questions, so I looked up some stats on the...
Oh, yeah, bring them on. Well, if you got,
watchers.
Yeah,
but
why don't you...
I don't have numbers.
Yeah.
As far as numbers, I do have some numbers. Like Tragic Tandem video just went over 80,000 viewers.
Wow!
And so YouTube sent me a memo asking me if I wanted to be part of the partner share program. In other words, they could put advertisements up on my Tragic Tandem video,
Okay.
And I would get money for it.
Oh.
And because people say, "Well, Paul, you make all these videos, you make any money doing it?" No, it costs money. But the thing is, I can't do that.
No?
Because if you watch the Tragic Tandem video, you'll hear a Green Day song in it.
Oh, you'd actually have to go and...
The thing is, I can't go in and re-edit it.
Yeah.
And start from zero. I can't do a thing. I can't re-edit the sound out of it, a section. I'd have to... download a whole new video.
Oh, dang.
So,
so
I can't make money off of that video.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised it hasn't been taken down.
Because
it's only
of
a few seconds here and a few seconds there.
Yeah.
It's
funny because even if you could just mute that one little, those couple of spots, wow. But you can't do it. You're right. You start all over again.
I can't.
Yeah.
I put the music. I mean, a lot of people might not realize it. I spent a lot of time editing the video. The timing is everything.
Yes.
And sure, after I go back and look at it a year later, I wish I would have cut more out of it or done this different. But I still, first time, I spent a lot of time editing the video. And to change a video even a little bit makes everything else change.
Right, right.
And
right.
So you know, I couldn't just cut out a little section. It wouldn't be the same video.
Did you learn this on your own, or just did you go to school, had a little bit of...
I think it just comes natural to me. I just knowing what I like and what I think people were like, and as far as timing goes, I don't know, it just comes natural. I really don't know why. I've maybe read a few books on it.
Yeah.
But I know what I want. I know what it's supposed to look like.
Well, see, that's the thing. If you really know what you want and what you're looking for, I'm sure it makes it a lot easier. So, yeah.
And I know what works and I know what doesn't.
Yeah.
Now, you would know sometimes from watching the videos, but like I said, I get to a point where I'm like, well, I can't go out and reshoot this scene. All the people are gone. The weather's changed.
Yes, weather change is probably a major thing, too. Yeah.
Right. So sometimes I have to leave it at that, even though I know that just barely works.
Yeah.
But at least I know what the shortcomings of the video are.
Yeah.
You know, it's just sometimes that's, you get what you get.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Herding cats again.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There are some interesting things. I mean, sometimes it really feels like. You know, I'm a professional videographer in Hollywood sometimes, the way you have to, you know, direct the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot, this is what's great. You know, like I said, I always grab volunteers, and I'll say, okay, this is going to be easy. You just have to say this one line. And then, so I put the camera on them. I said, don't be nervous, you know, we're not wasting film.
Right.
You don't have to worry about wasting film. You can take as many takes. There's only a few people standing around watching, so don't even worry about them. All you have to do is say this scene, okay? There's not even any timing pressure. Like, in other words, you don't have to jump off a building and say the scene. You know, you just stand there and say this scene. And then I get them to do it, and they can't do it. and it takes 8 or 9 tries for them to say one sentence. I'm like, no, that's not it. You got to say it like this.
That's funny.
I mean, because you got the accent along the syllable. But, you know.
Take 17?
And okay, you're right, right. So by the time we're done, they'll usually come up and say, God, I had no idea that would be that hard.
Yes.
And I'm like, welcome to my world. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it comes naturally to me. I wasn't a bunch of plays as a younger person.
You were? Okay. All right.
You know, in grade school and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And just acting, I'm always talking to customers as an electrician, going to people's houses.
Yeah.
So, sort of acting comes naturally.
Okay.
So other people think, I could say that line. And some of them just can't.
That is too funny. Kind of like freeze up. Yeah. I get that sometimes when I'm talking to people on the phone for the show. Gosh, just relax. No big deal. Hey. It's going to be okay. So, yeah, I can only can imagine. That's funny. Well, cool, man. Hopefully a lot of people got to know a little bit more behind the PPG for Morons. And I tell you what, I know I had offered you to I just put a new couple of new pages on my website and stuff, and you're more than welcome. I had talked to you before to put your DVD on there, and maybe more people will actually ask for them. So you're more than welcome.
Yeah, that'd be great. People want to, because a lot of people have seen a few of the PPG for Morons, and they had no idea that there's actually 45.
I didn't even know. You know, I can to this. I can say I have not seen all of them. You know,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not that you'd want to sit down there and watch, because I have to fit them on 3 DVDs.
Really? Wow.
So not that you'd want to sit down and watch them all at once, but, you know, if it was a rainy day and you had a half an hour to kill, you could pop it in and watch a few of them.
Yeah.
Or what a lot of people do is they buy them and then they show them at the fly-in.
Yeah.
There's always dead time or dead night or at night. They'll pop them in and people can watch them at fly-ins and actually see them in good quality rather than whatever their internet connection is. And so just to let people know that those are available, I sell them basically at cost.
All right.
I'm not trying to make money.
Okay. Well, yeah, guys, just letting you know, I will have them up on my website here soon for you to order. And, Paul, I thank you much for coming on, man. Anything else you'd like tell everybody out there? I mean, I just make this kind of a sit-down, two guys talking, and I think of a few questions. But if there's anything that you would like to let the viewers of the PPG for Morons, you know, go ahead. I'll give you that time.
Well, let me leave you with my favorite quote of the day.
All right.
This happened to Phil Atkinson in Pennsylvania. I went all the way to Pennsylvania for a fly-in.
Yeah.
And it's Amish country.
Okay.
And so there's Amish people all over. And Phil went flying low along this field and got dumped. Ended up on the ground.
Oh, wow.
And some Amish kid runs up to him. And here's the quote. He goes up to Phil, sitting on the ground with his paramotor stuff all over the place in the middle of the field. And he goes, we better get you out of here before Amos catches you in his alfalfa.
Are you serious?
I love it.
That is great.
Like, oh, that could only happen in Amish country. We better get you out of here before Amos catches you in his alfalfa.
That is true.
I could not have written a better line.
That was
that
great.
That happened.
Oh, wow. That is fun. I have not heard that story. That's good. That is good.
Right. So that's maybe eventually I'll get a PPG for Morons website. And then I can put all these stories down.
That is excellent. Well, cool, man. Welcome back anytime to come on and chit-chat. Shoot. Like I said, everybody, Paul Anthem, you can go to YouTube at this point, and I'm sure you can see all of his, or I don't know how many. Do you have them all on YouTube, or are they?
They're all on YouTube. That's where they're originally downloaded.
Downloaded that. Like he said, he offers a DVD set, three DVDs, and I will have it up on talkingppgradio.com here pretty quick for you. And, Paul, thanks for coming on, man. Greatly appreciate
thank
it.
You, Will.
All right.
Paul Anthem, PPG for Morons. First, I'd like to thank him for coming on, giving me his time, and hopefully you guys kind of know a little bit more about what's in the mind of the PPG for Morons there. So really great guy. Like I said, I met him in Kankakee and went to several fly-ins, and just an absolutely great guy. Which you new guys that haven't gone to fly-ins and haven't really been around a lot of other PPGers, you'll realize it. Just a bunch of great guys out there that will help you, and also ladies. I'm sorry, gals too. In this very unique sport that we are in. So, and I will have his PPG for Moron DVDs up on the website here soon, so you'll get a chance, or you can just sit back and see them stream flawlessly. Other than like YouTube, it seems like I'm getting a lot of buffering a lot on these videos here. I guess it has to do with them and the HD stuff. So, but anyway. The other thing, hopefully you guys every once in a while are checking the TalkingPPGRadio.com website. If you notice, I added a safety link, which is safety first, which is basically just some information that I thought, you know, hey, it'd be good for, you know, just good information to know. So, about safety in this sport. So, and also a merchandise button, which I will offer, different merchandise, t-shirts. A lot of you guys that may have been with me flying this year, you know, also I offer some stickers that I do, some PPG stickers, and some t-shirts I'm working on, and just things that I think are really cool. And so, anyway, thank you much for listening again. Like I said, any comments, questions, thoughts, anything. Come on the show. You have something interesting, and if you have something out there that you make that you're interested in to get more exposure, yeah, that's the word, more exposure. Give me a call. Maybe we can put it on the merchandise page, so to help you guys out. So, anyway, Will Jones talking PPG Radio. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Yeah. Make you wanna move. your dancing feet now. When the morning gathered the rainbow, want you to know.